Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time and this opportunity to speak of you. We put this message into your hands. We ask that you do your will with it. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're continuing our look at the Father's glorification of the saints. We have seen that it is the destiny of all those who are called by his name to be glorified with, by, and through Christ. Not because we've earned such an honor, but because it has always been the kind intention of his will for us. It was his desired result when this world was created. We've reviewed multiple scriptures on the topic, and Romans chapter 8 speaks to the matter as strongly as any other place in scripture. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." Verse 30 says, "And these whom he predestined, he also called, and these whom he called, he also justified, and these who he justified, he also glorified," using the past tense to indicate that it was already done when Christ did what he did for us. Verse 29 tells us that we are pressing to be conformed to the image of Christ. Nothing can stop it from occurring. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that as surely as we are born in the image of the earthly, we will bear the image of the heavenly. And Philippians 3 tells us that Jesus will transform us into conformity with his glory. We have seen that there are three things that Scripture assures us that will occur when we are glorified by God. Because whatever else it may mean and whatever else it may bring, it will bring these three things. First, participation in the kingdom. Power and authority to judge and reign with Christ. Perdurability, everlasting life, freedom from death, and punishment from sin. And finally, perfection, total freedom from sin and failure. Perdurability addresses what we've done in the past. Participation addresses what we will be doing. Perfection addresses what we won't be doing. We have seen that these three things are bound to each other. Having any two without the third makes them something much less than glory. What value is it if we are perfect, perfected, and have purpose, and it all ends? What's the value if I'm eternal and perfect, but I have no purpose? What value is it if I'm eternal and have purpose, but I am still corrupt? Can heaven be called glory if I am still me, what I am now, the thing that I fight daily? If failure is a possibility, then failure is a certainty and the scope of eternity, and I am destined to fall back to where I came from. And all of this has been for nothing. The words of Christ, "It is finished," would ring hollow and mock me instead of comfort me. Can I be safely granted access to the power and authority of Christ for any amount of time, if even the smallest part of me is still corrupt? Because power doesn't corrupt anything. Power simply reveals corruption. My journey wouldn't conclude with me being conformed to the image of Christ as he ascended into heaven. It would end with me being conformed to the image of Lucifer as he fell from heaven. Would I not be even worse than I am now if I am not perfected by God? The damage I have done during this life to myself and to others, with the limited time and authority that I now have, would pale in comparison to the carnage I would surely unleash with unlimited time and unlimited power. If I'm still going to be what I am now, I have no desire for more time or more power. I would trade them both for one day or even one hour of complete conformity to the image of Christ. One moment where I can experience completely unity with the will of God. One moment of being one with my God, Father, and Creator. One moment of being what he is, pure love. Scripture assures me that I am going to get my wish, not just for a moment, but for all eternity. I'm going to meet the standard that God has proclaimed for my existence, and I'm going to meet it solely through his grace. What God's justice demands of us, God's grace supplies for us. God demands that I be what he created me to be, and through time and experience, life, I'm coming to the place where what he demands is becoming my desire and becoming my destiny. Matthew 5:48, Jesus puts it clearly, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are to be. This is both a command and it is a prophecy. You must be and you will be perfect. Not just mortal perfection, the best that a man can be, but eternal perfection, the limitless perfection of God as the Father is perfect. These words were not spoken to discourage me with the unobtainable, but to encourage me with the certain, not to dishearten me over what I am, but to inspire me over what I will be. The Word of God assures your glorification, and your glorification assures perfection. It is God's final touch on His masterpiece that He calls you. God created man, and then He set about to make them sons and to make them heirs. All things work together for this to occur. All things. This life ends with you being perfect. More importantly, eternity begins with you being perfect. Philippians 1:6 says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. God began his good work in you the moment you were born. His prevenient grace reached out to you before you reached for him. He knocked on the door before you opened it. From the moment he called you, his goal was established for you, perfection. He has used all things in this short life towards that eternal end. He is perfecting you and will continue to do so until the day of Christ. Why will it stop then? Because then you will be perfected. When you leave here and go into his presence, you will be what you must be to stand before him and sit behind him, sit beside him, sit with him, sit at the table with him, holy, blameless, and perfect. This is the process that finishes the work that God has begun in us. It is the end of what is corruptible, and it is the beginning of the incorruptible. Death puts perfection onto and into us. For those that love the Lord, death is the last step towards perfection. As Paul wrote, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, for the last 2,000 years, we have deliberated if perfection, complete sanctification, could be obtained by any of us while we're still in this mortal state. Can we be perfect here? John Wesley, a man of some standing among us Methodists, preached perfection almost as much as he did grace, seeing the two as a cause and effect relationship. Wesley could not give an example of anyone who has achieved Christian perfection on this earth. But because of our sanctification and its work being the work of God, he concluded, then such a thing must be possible because God can do all things, even though I've never seen it done. So while perfection may not be practically applicable to the mortal, it remains theoretically plausible due to the omnipotence of God. So for me, we are not perfected until after we die, when the corruptible has put on the incorruptible. Now consider the following verses, 1 Peter 4:1-2. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Suffering the flesh, as noted here, is commonly considered to be a mention of physical death. When you die, you stop sinning. Peter is saying that your eternal destiny is to sin no more. So spend whatever time you have left pursuing the will of God. Start early. Beat the end of life rush to perfection. Get as close as you can get now. And Paul notes the same idea when he writes to the church in Rome in 6:7-12. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we have died in Christ, we believe that we shall live also with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, because of that, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. He who has died is free from sin. I cannot tell you how many times I've read this without grasping the depths of this truth. When this body stops, sin stops. I do not take my sinful nature with me into glory. Glory takes my sinful nature from me. This is the great hope of my existence. I will be like Christ. Once I see him as he is, the hope without which everything is vanity. 1 John 3:2-3 tells us this, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. This hope, what we call faith, that we will be like him when we see him as he is, it purifies us. Faith that we will be completely sanctified when we see him will make us as pure as he is pure. Perfect. We are destined for eternal perfection, holiness. This will be achieved for us, not by us. A product of his grace, not our perseverance. Hebrews 10:14 tells us, For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. He has eternally perfected us through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:10, After you've suffered for a little while, God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect you. Psalms 57:2 says, I cry to the God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. And Psalms 138 says it this way, The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. What a beautiful phrase. He will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of your hands. You see, brothers and sisters, God has always held himself responsible for what he created. There was never a time when he turned your perfection over to your wisdom, will, or abilities. If there's anything that concerns my eternal fate, he accomplishes it. He does it for me. What he requires in return is faith, the acceptance of this fact. The psalmist tells us why this is, his loving kindness. Now, what a beautiful compound word. Are there two words that join together more gracefully than love and kindness? The cause and the effect in one word. Love produces kindness, which is the reason God does for us anything we cannot do for ourselves, because he is kind. Our perfection is the fulfilling experience of his love for us. He cannot leave us as we are. He is far too kind for that. And in this love and in this kindness is the source and force of our perfection. Because, brothers and sisters, God is love. And to be conformed to his image, we must become what he is. We must become love. Not someone who loves, but someone who is love. Now, regarding perfection, John Wesley wrote, And this is perfection and glory and happiness, the royal law of heaven and earth in this, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. The one perfect good shall be your one ultimate end. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13 says, And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish in your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. God causes us to increase and abound in love. We will establish our hearts, our essence, without blame and holiness. God's love becomes our love, and we become perfect in love. When does this occur? It says at the coming of the Lord for those who are still alive and for those who have gone on before us upon their death. This is the saints that will be with him when he comes. In Matthew 22, Jesus tells us that the entirety of the law, what it requires of us, is fulfilled if we love God with all of our being and we love each other as we love ourselves. When we are perfected in love, when we love as he loves, we will be perfected completely and eternally. The glory of God is the love of God, And our glorification, more than anything else, will be the manifestation of His love in us and through us. We are destined to be glorified by God. We are destined for perfection, and we are destined to be love, the exact image of Christ, and to be so for all of eternity. Now, until that day, Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay a hold of that for which I was laid a hold of by Christ. What a beautiful little phrase. So that I may get what He got me to get. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And you can't do that unless you know what it is. He says, I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect yet. That's my wife. But I surely will be. So what do I do now? I press on. Past failures are gone. All that remains of them is the lessons learned. I now look forward to the prize at the end of the race. And there are times when it seems so very far away, almost unobtainable. I often grow weary of my own failings, and at times I want to give up. And then I look forward to the promises of perfection, and I press on. Until He calls me home, I will get up every day, get out of bed, put my feet on the floor, and step forward. I live today for the kingdom of God as best as I can. Tomorrow, I will do the same. Each day, I am one step closer to my destiny, because each day is perfecting me. The tick of the clock encourages me, for it is the sound of the footsteps of God's love coming closer and closer to my heart. I will be perfect. I will be righteous. I will be holy as God is holy, because I will love as God loves, and so will you. That, my friends, is glory. Amen.